Hallo, so schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, deinem Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler und ich freue mich so sehr, dass du da bist heute, denn es wartet ein Interview mit einer Frau auf dich, wo ich so lange drauf gewartet habe, sie zu interviewen, denn ihre Bücher sind ja für mich tatsächlich mit die schönsten Bücher, die ich je gelesen habe. Und sie ist einfach eine so unglaublich inspirierende Frau. Es geht um Anita Morjani. Und vielleicht hast du diesen Namen noch nie gehört, denn sie ist in Deutschland, glaube ich, tatsächlich noch nicht so bekannt. Ich hoffe, das ändert sich jetzt mit diesem Podcast. Denn Anita ist New York Times Bestseller-Autorin und sie hat vor vielen Jahren eine schwere Krebserkrankung gehabt und war so schwer krank, dass sie tatsächlich ins Koma gefallen ist und für die Ärzte klar war, dass sie nicht zurückkehren wird. Und während sie im Koma lag, hatte sie tatsächlich eine Nahtoderfahrung und erzählt in ihren Büchern darüber, was sie erlebt hat in dieser Nahtoderfahrung. Und es ist eine so heilsame, schöne Perspektive auf all das, was passiert, wenn wir eines Tages dieses irdische Leben hier verlassen und dahin zurückkehren, wo wir herkommen. Und in diesem Interview mit Anita spreche ich darüber, welche Botschaften sie bekommen hat während ihrer Nahtoderfahrung, warum es so unglaublich wichtig ist, sich selbst zu lieben, warum wir krank werden oder woran es liegen kann, dass wir krank werden, wenn wir uns selbst nicht wirklich lieben und wie wir im Alltag diese Selbstliebe-Rituale einbauen können. Und wir sprechen darüber, was eigentlich für sie Spiritualität bedeutet. Wir sprechen darüber, wie man die eigene Spiritualität auch im Alltag integrieren kann. Und es geht ganz, ganz viel um das Thema Intuition und wie wir uns mit dieser inneren Führung verbinden können, zu der wir jederzeit Zugang haben. Es uns aber manchmal schwerfällt, diese Botschaften zu erhalten. Und diese Interviews, ich war so beseelt nach diesem Gespräch und ich freue mich wirklich sehr, es jetzt mit dir teilen zu können. Ich hoffe, dass du ganz, ganz viel daraus mitnimmst. Und ich möchte an der Stelle einfach noch Danke sagen. Danke, dass es dich gibt. Danke, dass du diesen Podcast hörst. Und danke auch an dieser Stelle für all die Menschen, die mein Buch gekauft haben, Zurück zu mir, das es seit letzter Woche offiziell gibt. Und ich bin so dankbar, dass es so viele Menschen gerade einfach lesen. Und das Feedback ist einfach so, so wunderschön. Also danke wirklich an euch alle und für eure Unterstützung für dieses Buch. Und ich freue mich natürlich wirklich wie ein kleines Seehonigkuchpferdchen oder wie auch immer. Wie heißt es? Wie ein Honigkuchenpferdchen? Wie ein Seepferdchen. Ich freue mich wie ein Seepferdchen, dass das Buch einfach so viele von euch erreichen darf und dass es vor allen Dingen euch im Herzen erreicht. Denn genau das war meine Intention. Und danke einfach dafür. Und falls du dir das Buch noch nicht gekauft hast, du kannst es jetzt überall kaufen, wo es Bücher gibt. Es steht in jedem Buchladen und du kannst es dir natürlich auch online bestellen. Und ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude da beim Lesen und freue mich auf eure Rezension auf Amazon oder wo auch immer man eine Rezension schreiben kann und wenn du mir auf Instagram schreibst. Und an der Stelle einfach danke dafür, dass ihr dieses Baby von mir so liebevoll in Empfang genommen habt. Und danke, 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 danke. Und jetzt geht's los mit dem wunderschönen Interview mit Anita Morjani. Ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude dabei. I am so grateful and excited to have the amazing Anita Morjani in the podcast today. Thank you so much for your time and for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And I remember I first heard about your story from Wayne Dyer, probably like many, many, many people, because I love his audiobooks. And I was on Maui and I was listening to one of his audiobooks and he was talking about you and how he heard about you the first time and then how he kind of made you to write the book and tell your story. And then I also was, wow, when he was telling your story, I was so amazed and it really touched me so deeply. So I started to research you, and it's so nice. So today that we are sitting here and I can talk to you. So it's very, very nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's really wonderful. And thank you. I'm so happy you read Wayne's book and you know, yes, who he is.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So for all the people that haven't heard your story yet, I know you told it, I guess, so many times, but would it be okay for you to just tell again, like, your story and your experience you had, so that we can dive into this in the conversation?
Yes, sure. I'll give a sort of a shortened version so that we can dive into all the other things. So basically in 2006, I had end stage cancer. It was stage 4B lymphoma. And what that means is that I had cancer of the lymph glands or the lymphatic system, and it had spread throughout my body. So I had tumors about the size of golf balls from the base of my skull, all around my neck, under my arms, in my chest, and all the way down to my abdomen. And at that point, my body had stopped absorbing nutrition. And so my muscles completely deteriorated. So I weighed about 85 pounds. I was completely like a skeleton, like skin and bones. And because my muscles had deteriorated, I didn't even have the strength to stand up. I was always lying down or sitting down, but my lungs were always filled with fluid. And because of that, if I would lie flat, I would choke on my own fluid. And so on February the 2nd, 2006, my organs started to shut down one by one. My kidneys stopped functioning. And then I went into a coma. And the doctors told my family that I would not be coming back. I would not be coming out of the coma. And I had had cancer for 4 years. So this had progressed over 4 years. And while I was in the coma, so I was in the hospital, my family were around me. My family were really distraught. But while I was in the coma, I left my body and I felt incredible. My soul, my spirit felt incredible and free. And I felt more alive than I had ever felt in my life. And I felt like I was surrounded by love, like I was just in this bathing in unconditional love. And I felt liberated and light, and I just wanted everyone to know that I was okay, and I was now finally free from my body, and I was happy. And of course, there was no way for me to communicate this with my family because my physical body was lying there in the hospital bed, dying in a coma. And when I looked at my body was so small and insignificant compared to how I was now feeling. I felt expanded, like I was magnificent and powerful. And then I started to notice that I was surrounded by other spiritual beings. And one of them was my dad, who had died 10 years prior. And another one was my best friend, who had died 2 years prior. And so, and then there were others who I didn't recognize. And the one thing I felt from all of them was pure, unconditional love. I've never felt this kind of love here in the physical before, because I had spent a lifetime of constantly trying to win people's approval and constantly believing that I had to, do something to be deserving of love, to earn people's love, to win people's love. I always felt that I had to do something to earn it. But here in the other side, I felt I was loved no matter what. I didn't have to do anything. I was loved just because I existed. And I felt so like at peace and so relaxed. It was like, oh, wow, I can breathe. I can relax. I don't have to work at holding on to people to love me. So that was huge for me. And because I had always worked really, really hard to win people's approval and to hold on to their approval. And I believed that I had to keep doing that. So that was a big thing for me. And so I realized on that side that one of the things that had caused me to get cancer, excuse me, was the fact that I had never loved myself. I had never known that feeling that I need everyone else's approval. What that does is that it sends me the message that I'm not good enough as I am. And so I have to work hard to win people's approval. I need their approval because I don't love myself. So I need other people to love me. And the fact that I need to work hard to win it means that I'm not good enough. So I didn't realize that I had spent a lifetime doing that. And that was one of the biggest reasons that my body kind of was constantly tired and giving up on me. And my body was trying to tell me, no, this is not what you came here for. This is not who you are. And so when I was on that side, I understood why I had got the cancer. I understood that it's so important to love ourselves and to know that we're worthy and deserving of love. And I reached a point on that side where I was given a choice as to whether I want to come back into my physical body or not. And I didn't want to come back because it was so beautiful on that side. And my body was suffering and I was suffering. But my dad said to me that it's not your time. You have gifts waiting for you on the other side. And I felt that, but my body is dying. Why would I want to go to back into a sick body? My family was suffering, taking care of me. And that's when I realized that, oh, you know, my dad and everybody on the other side, they wanted me to know that now that I knew the truth of who I really am, the truth of what caused the cancer, that now with knowing this truth, if I went back, my body would heal very quickly. And that's when I made the decision to come back. And my dad said to me, now that you know, you have to go back and live your life fearlessly. That was his big message for me. And so I started to come out of the coma. So I'd been in the coma for about 30 hours. And I started to come out of the coma. And of course, my family were so happy and were welcoming me. The doctors were telling my family, even if I come out of the coma, I'm still really sick. It's still critical. I may not survive, or they didn't believe the cancer would heal. But in 4 days, my tumor shrunk by 60%. And the doctors were shocked. They didn't know what to write in my medical records. In 3 weeks, they couldn't find any trace of cancer in my body. They still wanted to keep me in the hospital for observation. I was still a little bit weak. I was still building up strength in my body. But in 5 weeks, they released me from the hospital to go home and live my life. That was in March of 2006. And yes, and that's been 15 and a half years now.
Wow. That is so amazing. And it's so, I'm so happy that you made the choice to come back. Thank you for that, that you left this amazing place to come back. I appreciate that because I can imagine that there was a tough choice.
it was a very strange,
separated 3D reality
thing. Yes, it was a very tough choice.
Wow. And I mean, thank you so much for sharing your story, because I think it's just so valuable for everyone listening to just getting to it. I don't know if you hear, my baby is outside. I hope it's not too loud. My two kids are outside playing. My husband is there as well, but she just woke up. So you might hear her.
That's so cute. Oh, that's lovely. No, that's fine. It's a beautiful
three
sound.
3 months. She's really, really tiny. So,
oh my God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful that you had to have a new life in the house.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Aww. It's really beautiful. So, when you came back and your body healed that quickly, was it easy for you to reconnect with that truth you gained, or was it kind of hard for you to reconnect with that feeling of pure love and self-love? Did you have to learn it then again, or was it just something you now had and you could just like a treasure, like, yeah, use it?
So it's a bit of both. So it was definitely something I had that was a treasure, but it was very hard to integrate back into this world with that treasure.
Yes.
Because the people here in this world, it felt like because they don't believe it, you meet with people who are skeptical and debunkers and naysayers, and it almost feels like they want to take that gift away from you if you try to share it. So when I first came back, I wanted everybody to know. You know, it was like, oh my God, why don't people know this? This can heal disease all over the world if people only knew how loved they are and how they can just relax and they don't, you know. I was like thinking that I need to tell everybody who's willing to listen this truth. But it didn't receive the reception that I wanted it to receive. Mm-hmm. And instead of just dealing with people who don't believe you, it's not that people don't believe you and they move on. No, they try to convince you that you are wrong and you are dreaming and that you are delusional.
Wow.
And so,
yeah, true.
That's what you get faced with, where people mm-hmm. say that no, this is, you know, what you're sharing is dangerous. You're giving people false hope and it goes against mainstream and, you know, like all kinds of things. So in a way, I knew that if I continued to share my story in this way, they would start chipping away, because this is so persistent, this physical reality and people's beliefs. And people's beliefs in our, that we are three-dimensional, five sensory beings and nothing more. We are not anything. People's beliefs are so strong and so persistent that I realized if I continued to share, it would start chipping away at my own belief. I would start doubting. So then I had to start keeping it precious, like a secret, and just turn to it when I needed it. But what I found was that I was pulling myself away from the physical world more and more. And so that was interesting, where I realized that I was pulling away and I started to question, like, why was I back here? Surely I was here to have a physical experience. But if I can't bring the gift with me into the physical, what's the point if people are going to push back? So I went through a lot of years of also just questioning things. And then the interesting thing that happened was that Wayne Dyer discovered my story, because at the time, right in the beginning in 2006, when I wanted the whole world to hear it, I started writing about it and I shared it on a website, on a near-death experience website. So it was there on that website. And then I went through, you know, like a few years of just processing and questioning the world. But in that time, I made a few friends online, not physical friends, a few online friends who'd had similar experiences, and we would communicate with each other. And so I knew I wasn't going crazy, and we would talk about it and write about it. And for me, that was like my, you know, I knew then that it really happened. I wasn't going crazy. All I needed was just this five friends, and they all had such an experience. And so we all compared notes and we all talked about how our lives were changed and how we were now manifesting a new reality. And I noticed that my life was very different. My health was different. Like I healed very quickly, and I knew, and I could see how when I perceive my health differently, when I was able to know that I am more than a physical being, how it affected me. So we kept it our little secret. We would do these experiments, intuition experiments and everything. And then Wayne Dyer discovered my story on the internet. And my first reaction to Wayne Dyer was that, what about all the skeptics and the debunkers? And he said, don't worry about them. I'll help you through that. And he said that there are people who are hungry to hear what you have to say. Because it's not mainstream, because these people are hungry, they don't know where to go because the world is filled with debunkers and naysayers. So he said, but there are people who are hungry. And he said, and that's my audience. That means Wayne's audience. He said, they would love you. You need to focus on them and don't focus on the skeptics. And so when he had me write the book and brought me on stage, I realized, wow, he's right. There are a lot of people who are hungry for this information too.
That's amazing. Thank God that you did that. Yeah. I have so many questions. So the first question I have is, I also know a few people who had a similar experience, that who were really sick and had a near-death experience. And the interesting thing is they all say the same. So I always think that all the skeptics just talk to like 20 people who had that experience and who don't know each other, and you will see they will all say exactly the same what happened. What I find so interesting, like it's amazing. So were the people you met then on the internet, the online friends you had who had a similar experience, was it similar, like also what they
and the thing is, when you speak with people who have a similar experience, you don't need to spend a lot of time convincing them, and your conversation just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, that's one of the things I realized, is that when I spent time, so what would happen in the beginning was that one of the doctors who researched my case, he was amazing. He completely believed me. He saw my medical records. He said, whichever way you look at it, you should be dead. But what he wanted to do was he wanted me to speak in the medical circles, because he wanted other people in the medical circles and in the scientific circles to hear what I had to say. So his cause was very, very noble. I loved what he was doing, that he was trying to do that. What I didn't realize, I came to understand it later, was that speaking in those medical circles was very draining for me, because they want proof. And maybe they walk away later thinking, oh yeah, what she's saying is true. She has a point. And I'm sure the things I said changed the way they felt. I'm sure it changed the way they view physical people when they're medically treating them. I'm sure it helped them. But for me, it didn't make for interesting conversation, because every conversation, every question is about trying to convince a skeptic. But when I would speak with other people who were near-death experiencers, or people who were already had spiritual experiences, who already believed, who already knew, our conversations would go into, okay, what shall we challenge ourselves to do next? What shall we intuit? Let's go deeper into our intuition. Let's do remote viewing, like, which means to intuit something that we can't see, or let's see how we can heal this. Let's do a healing experiment. So it was like two completely different types of things, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Two worlds. It was two completely different worlds. One world stimulated me. The other one, talking to the scientists and the medics, even though I knew I was impacting their view, it was still very draining dealing with their questions and their needing proof and everything.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what I find so interesting is that the most important message you got is to love yourself, and how important it is to love yourself. And I found it really beautiful the way you said it, because it makes so much sense that, we get ill if we don't love ourselves. Yeah, I mean, it makes, yes, if you think about it, it makes so much sense. So I would say, fortunately, maybe unfortunately, I don't know, not all of us can make the experience you had of a near-death experience. I don't know if that's good or not. I'm not sure. but how can we, because what I know is that there are so many people who have a hard time accepting themselves and tapping, yes, into this knowing of how valuable they are and how large their soul is and of who they really are. So what would you say, how can ordinary people who don't have an experience like that tap into this knowing, or how can we maybe in everyday life connect better to this kind of self-love? How can we nurture that?
So there are many, many things we can do. So first of all, you know, one of the reasons I share everything that I do and I keep speaking to people is because I don't want people to have a near-death experience to learn what I learned.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah. So no, nobody needs to have a near-death experience. So first of all is awareness. It's the awareness that it is important to love yourself. That's the first thing. My slogan is love yourself like your life depends on it, because it does. And so a lot of people still believe that it's selfish to love themselves. So the first step is awareness. And I want to share why that's really important. I grew up believing that it's selfish to love myself, and that it's better to give than to receive, that it's better to be of service to others, and all of that. All of that is great. It is true. But a lot of people, the people who easily do those things, the people who easily love or are of service to other people, are the very same people who believe it's selfish to love themselves. Mm-hmm. And so so what I want to say to people is that you need to be aware that that in order to love other people, you need to have love within yourself. You really need to have love within yourself. When you are of service to other people and you don't love yourself, you're basically, when you don't love yourself, you're basically doing two things. One is you're taking the attention off yourself because you don't love yourself. And so it's like, because you constantly want to take your mind off yourself, you find it easier to put your focus on other people. So a lot of people have a tendency to do that because you want to avoid your own problems. You decide to focus on other people's problems. So ask yourself, do I have a tendency to do that? The second thing is, a lot of people who are helping other people, they may be doing it from a place of obligation. Ask yourself, am I doing it because I want to win that person's approval? Am I doing it because I don't want them to be disappointed in me? Not because I want to do it, not because I love them and this is what I want to do, but because I'm afraid of disapproval, or I'm trying to win approval, or I'm trying to prove to them that I'm likable. So be honest with yourself and ask yourself, why are you doing these acts of service and this kindness? So it's this awareness that's so important, which I get into really deeply in my book, Sensitive is the New Strong. But what I want to share, though, that's super important, is that when I, before I even got sick, I was that person who would do things for other people. Mm-hmm. And I always felt other people are more important than me. Other people's problems are more important than my problems. And so I was always doing things for other people. And even if I had problems, I would ignore my problems and do things for other people. Mm-hmm. Then even when I got sick, I still felt that I didn't want to give other people trouble. And so I didn't even tell people I was sick. only my husband and my immediate family knew. And I would say, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. I don't want to trouble them. I don't want them to treat me differently. And so I would still do things for other people, show up for other people, be of service to other people, even when I was sick. Even as I got sicker and sicker, people knew I was sick, but I didn't want to trouble them. And so when people would do things for me, when they would want to help me because I was sick, I would feel obligated and burdened by their help. And instead of just accepting and receiving their help, I would feel burdened. And I would say, no, I don't need anything. And immediately I would feel, oh, I need to repay them for doing that, even though I was sick. So it wasn't even getting sick and getting cancer that taught me the lesson that I need to love myself and I need to take care of myself. No, it was death. It was only when I died did I realize that, oh my gosh, I am, that I matter. My life matters. I needed to take care of myself and put myself first and worry about my own problems and not everybody else's. And so this is why it's important for me to share this with people. Don't wait until you get sick, and especially don't wait until you die. So some of the tips that I tell people, and every day I meet people who say that, oh my God, I relate to that. I'm like that. And so I say to them, here are the things you need to do. Number one, you need to learn to receive. If you relate to what I'm saying, what it means is that you give and give and give of yourself, but you don't know how to receive. So number one, please be aware that it's okay to receive. If somebody gives you a gift, do not feel that you have an obligation to pay it back. That's why it's a gift. If you immediately feel that you have to pay it back, then it's not a gift. Then you're not accepting their gift. Then it's a transaction. It's a purchase. It's a barter. But when the person gave it to you, they gave it to you as a gift, whether it's the gift of time or money or whatever it is, accept it. Just watch that inability to receive. That's a big thing for people who get sick. The second thing I tell people is that do something for yourself every day. People who have an inability to receive, they also have trouble performing a service for themselves. They can perform service for everybody, but they can't perform a service for themselves. So do something for yourself every day, whether it's to soak in a tub, you know, whether it's to take time out to go to a movie alone or to go for a walk or to go to the park or whatever it is that you're always saying, oh, I don't have time to do that. I have to take care of my kids. I have to cook. I have to take care of my aging parents and blah, blah, blah. We always have an excuse and everybody else is more important than us. We need to do at least one thing for ourselves every single day to show ourselves that our lives matter. Those are the two biggest things that I can tell you. The third thing is to remember that you are a spiritual being. What does it mean that you are a spiritual being? It means that if you're a spiritual being, it means that you have come from spirit into this body for a reason. If you have come from spirit, it means that you are a facet of God. What is spirit but a facet of God? All of us are connected. We are all a facet of God. So if you do not love yourself, if you do not allow yourself to be who you are, if you do not allow yourself, if you do not take care of yourself, then what are you doing? You are denying a facet of God from expressing itself through you in this time and space. So those are the three things I would want you to know.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. What is your most important spiritual routine you have to reconnect to yourself and to your spirit?
So I have different things that I do. One is I love to go outside. I love being out in the sun. I love the ocean and the sun. And when I can see the ocean and the sun, I feel really good. I feel connected. I feel expanded. It just has to be big. There are some people who love the mountains and some people who love meditating in a darkened room. My husband, for example, Danny, he loves meditating in a darkened room. For me, I need to be out in nature, in the sun, and that makes me feel connected. So you have to honor what it is for you that makes you feel connected. One of the things that I realized is that living in a city drains me. So we chose from that point on never to live in the midst of a city. We like to be not far from a city, like near a city, because we do like access to things like internet and all our creature comforts like that. But we don't like to live in the thick of a city. We have to be somewhere that's close to nature. So we live by the ocean where I am over here, and we get lots of sun and ocean. And so I feel really great. And so you just have to figure out what it is for you that makes you feel connected to your higher self and to your soul. So when, and for me, another thing that helps me a lot is music, certain spiritual music. Mm. So when I have nature and when I have music, I can really connect in a big way.
That's beautiful. Thank you. The other question I have is when you talked about intuition and to be intuitive, I think this is something, especially here in the Western world, a lot of people are so disconnected from their intuition and from being intuitive and really being in this connection to your higher self and to allow yourself to be guided and to listen to that voice and all the information that is coming through. How do you connect to your intuition? The question I always get as well is, how do I know if it's my intuition or my ego? How do I know if it's my heart or my head? So how can we, do you have a way how to connect better to that? How do you know sort of that it is your intuition?
So there are a few tips I can give you here. So number one is that your intuition comes through when you are at peace and when you least expect it. So like when your mind is completely relaxed. So it comes through, for example, just before you fall asleep or even in your dreams, because you're totally relaxed. It can come through your dreams. It can come through just before you fall asleep. It can come through your intuition gives you messages when you're just waking up, but not fully awake. When you're in the shower, that's a really good place where people's intuition comes through because your mind is just wandering freely. Here's when your intuition does not come through and has a lot of trouble coming through. It's when you are in a constant state of fear. When you're in a constant state of panic, your intuition cannot penetrate through that density. So what happens is that when you are feeling relaxed and you're operating from a space of your heart and your higher self, the idea is always when you're relaxed, when your eyes are closed, your heart is open and your higher consciousness, your connection with the upper world is open. But if, for example, you are listening to the news all day, every day, what it does is that it puts you in this state of fear and panic. And when you're in this state of fear and panic, interestingly, you start to operate from a place of survival of, and so when you're in this place of fight or flight, survival, we're not really in danger at the moment, but your spirit, your energy is coming from that endangered space and it cuts off. So when you're in that endangered space, what you do is you awaken your lower energies. When you have the chakra system, it's your lower chakras that are the chakras of physical survival. So you are so entrenched in physical survival when you are listening to the news all day, every day. You become so entrenched in physical survival, that's how you become disconnected with your intuition, with your spirit. So I always tell people, minimize your listening to the news, minimize listening and watching things that put you into that fear-based mode. Of course, you will have people who will say to you, but I need to know what's going on in the outside world and blah, blah, blah. And yes, you can know what's going on in the outside world by listening just to what you need to listen to, or listen once a week or whatever. But the very people who are addicted to the news are the ones who are disconnected with their higher self. And that's, you know, and so it's your choice. It's your choice. Do you want to be ingrained and embedded in the physical fight or flight, survival, living in stress, disconnected with the other side, but still get your news fix every day? Or do you want to actually connect with your higher self and your intuition? Then you do have to start letting go of listening to all the fear-based messages that get thrown at you. Because here's what happens. When you start listening to your higher self, and when your intuition opens up, you get different kinds of news. You get different kinds of messages. And those messages help you survive in a very different way. Mm-hmm. They give you messages about why you're here, what is your purpose, how to follow your purpose, this is what you're here to do. And so now here is the way to know between your ego or your mind versus your actual intuition. The fear-based messages are your mind, but any message that uplifts you, that makes you feel good, is your intuition. And I really mean that. And people are like, oh no, that's my imagination. And I say, your intuition uses your imagination to communicate with you when you allow it. But your ego will say, oh, that's your imagination. Your ego will say, oh, who do you think you are? Do you think you can really do that? Or, oh, you shouldn't quit your job. So those fear-based messages are your mind, not even necessarily your ego, but those fear-based messages are your mind. Mm-hmm. Whenever you hear an uplifting message like, yeah, you should do this. Yeah, you should take that risk. Yes, this is what you should do. That's actually your intuition saying, this is who you are. Mm-hmm. This is who you are.
I have one question regarding that point, because I know this voice so well, and usually it's things that, as you said, that are also a bit like you freak out inside of you a little bit when this voice comes and say, oh, you should write that book, or you should go on stage or do that, and you go like, no. How can we grow into how can we build trust into this voice, knowing that it wouldn't say anything that harms us, but that is always for us? So you know what I mean? How can you trust that voice better? Especially if someone listening right now and it's like, I hear this voice, but I'm so afraid. I know this is the decision I should make, but I'm so afraid to go there. What helps to listen?
I would say to the person to take baby steps. And so first, one thing that can help is journaling. So writing. So when you hear the voice, write down what the voice says, even if you don't follow it, even if you're too scared to follow it. So write it down and see if you see a pattern in what the voice is telling you. And then take baby steps with the small things that you can do that the voice is telling you to do. So when you notice things happening, when you notice synchronicities, when you notice signs, when you notice all these things, write it down in your journal. And then slowly you will start to build the trust. When you see that, oh my gosh, my higher self or the spirits on the other side, they're really trying to help me. They really are. These are the signs they're sending me. I have also done a YouTube video recently on signs from the other side. And so I would say, look for the signs and write them down when you see them. As you take these baby steps, you'll start to trust your intuition and your higher self more and more. And also, sometimes I have people tell me that I used to trust my intuition so much, but lately I've lost it. I've lost trust in it, and I don't know how to regain it back. So what I want to say is that lately, a lot of people are struggling because there has been a lot that's been going on in our world and a lot that's been happening in our news that have kept people hooked into what's going on in this physical world. So much so that everything in the news has put everybody on like a panic high alert status. And when we're all living from this fight or flight space, all of us together, we kind of start to lose touch with that higher self. So what I am inviting each person to do is that start by realizing that's what's going on. Start by realizing the reason you've lost touch is because you've been focusing on physical survival. Because when you're so highly focused on physical survival, what you're doing is you're sending yourself the message that I don't trust in the universe, that the universe is protecting me. I don't trust in that my spirit has a plan. I don't trust any of that. So I, my physical body, has to stay tuned to everything on the news to make sure that I take care of myself and my people. So this is how you're being trained to live by our energetic field right now, you know, the cultural field that we live in. This community cultural field is training us to live one way, but I'm inviting you to live another way. The other way is much more powerful if you dare to step out of it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. So important. I have one last question. So imagine it is the last day of your life and you live many, 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 many more years. You get really old, have an amazing life, change so many other lives through the story. And I would come to you on your last day of your life and I would say, Anita, I'm so sorry. There has been a technical problem and everything is deleted. All your videos, everything, your books are gone. But I have a white sheet of paper and a pen. And you could write on this white sheet of paper three wisdoms from you that you would like, if everything else is gone, that you would like humanity to know. What would you write down?
I would write, the first one would be love yourself like your life depends on it. That would be number one. Number two is always be yourself. In other words, don't do things to just please other people. Be yourself, live your dreams. Number three would be have fun. Laugh and have lots of fun. Don't take life seriously.
Wow. I love this. Anita, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. It's such a pleasure to listen to you. And I'm so grateful that you had this experience and that you can share with us what you experience and how life-changing it is, because I think it really is. And so important to really integrate this knowledge and this wisdom to know that at the end, it's all about love. Always has been, yes. And always will be. And
yes.
Yeah. And it just needs angels like you that come back and that try to remember us, to remind us who we are. So thank you. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. You asked great questions. This was so much fun. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Willkommen zurück aus diesem wunderschönen Gespräch. Ich hoffe, du konntest ganz viel für dich mitnehmen darüber, was im Jenseits auf dich wartet, darüber, dass wir überhaupt gar keine Angst davor haben müssen, was nach diesem Leben passiert, sondern dass dort einfach ganz viel Liebe auf dich wartet. Und dass es auch darum geht, dieses Leben hier zu nutzen, um diese Liebe auch bereits hier zu erfahren und zu leben und vor allen Dingen auch in die Selbstliebe zu kommen. Und dass es diese Intuition, diese intuitive Stimme in dir gibt, die dich führt und dich leitet und dass du dich mit ihr verbinden darfst. Und wie immer freue ich mich natürlich riesig, wenn du bei Instagram vorbeischaust, @LauraMarlinaSeiler und mir deine Gedanken dalässt zu der Folge von heute. Und wenn dich das Thema Selbstliebe auch interessiert, du findest in meiner Higher Self App, die du kostenlos herunterladen kannst, auch eine Masterclass zu dem Thema, wo es um die liebevolle Selbstannahme geht. Und wenn du in das Thema Vergebung mehr einsteigen möchtest, findest du meinen Vergebungskurs, die geheime Kraft der Vergebung, wo du auch einsteigen kannst und wo du in 7 Modulen lernst, zu vergeben und zu dir selbst zurückzukommen. Und ansonsten, Freunde der Sonne, ich habe es ja im Intro gerade schon gesagt, mein neues Buch ist endlich da und hat das Licht der Welt erblickt. Und ich bin ganz dankbar, wie ihr es in Empfang genommen habt und in eure Herzen geschlossen habt. Und ich bin wirklich sehr, sehr, sehr beseelt und freue mich einfach so sehr über all das schöne Feedback, was mich erreicht. Und dass es euch so viel Freude macht, es zu lesen. Und du kannst dir das Buch jetzt überall kaufen, in jedem Buchladen oder es dir in den Buchläden vorbestellen, es online bestellen. Und ich danke dir, wenn du es gelesen hast und wenn es dir geholfen hat und es dich inspiriert hat, freue ich mich natürlich unendlich, wenn du mir bei Amazon eine 5-Sterne-Bewertung dalässt. Denn umso besser das Buch bewertet ist, desto mehr Menschen werden es lesen. Und meine große Vision für dieses Buch ist einfach, dass ganz, ganz viele Menschen, die auch mit dem Thema Spiritualität vielleicht noch gar keinen Zugang hatten, dass dieses Buch vielleicht wie ein Türöffner für sie sein kann, weil es eben diese Geschichte erzählt, wie man diese eigene innere Welt entdecken kann. Also danke für deine Unterstützung und ich wünsche dir jetzt einen wunderschönen Tag. Fühl dich von Herzen umarmt. Es ist so schön, dass es dich gibt. Und ja, du weißt, wie es ist. Rock on und Namaste, deine Laura.